Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Look who we have with us. What's your name?
Eleanor.
This is our granddaughter who's going to join us today. Well, I have three announcements that I would like to share with you. First, that Barry and I have started a weekly Zoom prayer call, and it is on Fridays at 10:30 a.m. and for 1 hour. And if you would like to be part of this prayer call, please email me at nancy@sierravineyard.ca and I will send you the Zoom link.
Amen.
Secondly, we are starting a Zoom home group where we will watch and discuss the video series, The Chosen. If you are interested in participating, I will be emailing the Zoom link to those of you who are part of our regular email group.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of you are afraid of technology, and this might be scary for you, but I would like to let you know the only thing you need to do is click on the Zoom link that I send you, mm-hmm. and we control everything from our end and allow you to be able to see our screen, so we'll watch the movie together.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful series. If you haven't seen it, just be a part of it, but a great talking point too, so we'll watch it and then we'll get to talk together about what we've watched. Okay.
Now thirdly, if you would like an appointment with either Barry or I and or I myself, we are available by appointment on Wednesdays and Thursdays each week. We're booking appointments via email, and you'll find our emails on the weekly bulletin that we send out.
Now this morning, we have a treat for everybody. Terry Stauffer, who I hope most of you know by now, will be speaking this morning. And for those of you who do not know Terry and Teresa that well yet, Terry was once the worship and admin pastor here at the church on staff. And he's also good friends of Nancy and I. They later went and were in on staff at churches over in the mainland. So I value Terry's insights, his biblical knowledge, and his passion for Jesus. So I believe that you will really enjoy today's message. And obviously, both Terry and Teresa are gifted worship leaders. And Terry has actually written a lot of original songs. And he has also recorded a couple of CDs of that music, which are actually really good. So if you would like to get a CD, I don't know if he has any left or not, but you can call Terry and Teresa and ask them if they have some still available. Terry is actually going to sing one of those original songs at the end of the message today, and you all need to know that Terry will probably be mad at me for promoting both him and Teresa this way, because they actually are quite humble in all the right ways. But I want you all to know what a gift they are to us as a church.
Now, I'm very excited to hear Terry's message, so let's pray. But before I do, do you have your Bibles? And do you have your favorite morning beverage? Now, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Lord, I just lift up to you today Terry's message. I pray for hearts and heads to be open, that for God and His Holy Spirit to just bless us with what He wants to share with us. Mm-hmm. I ask that you would come and be with each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Yeah. Bye.
So is your heart and your head open to God now and His Spirit? So just relax and listen and be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad we can connect, even if it is just over technology. This is all really, really important for us to do. Here we are now 3 weeks into the new year, and I wonder, how is it going with all your New Year's resolutions? I know I'm on track so far. I resolved this year to not make any New Year's resolutions, and so far I'm 100% successful, so that's a good thing. One thing we can be happy about this year is that I'm pretty sure things can't get any worse than they were last year. Fingers crossed, let's hope. I've had a good laugh though over some of the memes that we've been seeing that have been circulating about 2020. If 2020 were a piñata, if 2020 were a hula hoop, if 2020 were a bowl of cereal, And this one was my favorite. If 2020 were a scented candle. Oh, yeah, it's important to laugh at ourselves. But on a serious note, 2020 was a very difficult year. It was a year of dichotomy. There was such diversity from one end of the spectrum to another. You have, on one hand, we're told stay home and isolate. And then on the other hand, we are, by doing so, we actually got to know our neighbors and we hung out doing, you know, talking across the street and across our fences. And it actually brought us together, ironically. We were encouraged to stay connected, yet not gather. We were told to that we're in this together, but we're in this together by being apart, whatever that means. Some were busier than ever, working hard because of COVID. Others have lost their jobs, or their careers, or their businesses because of COVID. So there's just this wide range of circumstances that have come out of this this past year. Some were enjoying the break from all the social gatherings and the busy schedules, and it was just kind of a nice break to just be ordered to stay home. Others were going out of their mind with loneliness, and even worse, loss of loved ones. To say that 2020 was a stormy year would be an understatement, that's for sure. If it was compared to a storm, it would be a Category 5 kind of stormy year. Unpredictable, unparalleled, and my favorite word that I've heard way too much this past year, unprecedented. Now, as I reflect on 2020, a verse came to my mind that perhaps can shed a little bit of light on the dramatic changes that have occurred. Hebrews 12:27. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so the unshakable can remain. I love how it's put in the Message. It reads like this. He'll also rock the heavens, one last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. So that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. I love that. As you reflect on this past year, I wonder, has your faith been shaken? Or has it been tested and proven? Has your resolve for fellowship been shaken? Or has that been tested and proven? Has your passion for obedience been shaken? Or has it been tested and proven? The storm has a way of revealing the truth of what is established and what is not established. A tree may look like it's tall and strong and established, but as soon as the wind comes and hits those branches and it topples it over, it reveals the truth that the roots actually weren't that deep. A storm will knock it over and reveal the truth of what lies beneath. Now, a few weeks ago, we had quite a stormy weather system move through here on the island. Wind, rain, and more rain, more rain. The gutters in our house, they couldn't even keep up with how much water was coming off our roof. On one of those stormy mornings, I woke up and I began my day the way I normally do. I stumbled down the hallway and I walked into the kitchen and I grabbed a cup of coffee for myself. I just have to say I'm so thankful for automatic coffee makers. I love that. It's my favorite part of the morning. I sat down in my chair and I began to read, and it was stormy and the wind was pushing the rain against the windows, and you could hear it pounding on the skylights above my head in our kitchen. And you could hear the surges of wind blowing, and you could see the branches swaying back and forth. And yet, as I sat there in my chair, I felt like just so good. It felt so good to be cozy and sheltered in our home. In fact, the storm that was raging around actually magnified that even more. It made it even that much better. And then I thought to myself, what would it be like if I was standing outside in that storm? It wouldn't be that great. A few weeks ago, we were just before Christmas, we were working up at in Port Alberni, and we were putting in a couple of really long days, 12, 13 hour days. And it was wet and raining, but we had a deadline to keep. And so we pushed hard, and that day, the first day that we were there, I realized how bad my boots actually leaked, and my feet were absolutely soaked, and I was soaked right from the beginning of the day. And so I still had another 11 hours to go. Went to our hotel at the end of the day, and then got up the next day, my boots were still soaked. And so I had to work the rest of the day with plastic bags on my in my boots to keep my feet somewhat dry. And all I could think about was just getting home, having a nice hot shower, and going and buying some new boots, for crying out loud. But as I was sitting there imagining being out in that storm and realizing that I just feeling that sense of comfort and security in my home, the picture, it became clear to me. This is like, without Jesus, we're exposed to the elements, the harsh elements of life: sin, loss, condemnation, fear, doubt. And we have to take the full brunt of that all by ourselves with no relief in sight. Oh, sure, we try to find shelter in things like food and drink and companionship, or maybe isolation for some, but we just barely survive, hanging on for dear life until we can finally make it to the next day, and then we have to do it all over again. But now enter Jesus into this storm, and suddenly everything's different. Suddenly, the waves of fear and doubt that are crashing against my heart and mind, they don't penetrate, because I raise that shield of faith, trusting that the God that I serve has me sheltered under his wing. He is my refuge in that storm. And the raging storm that is raging all around me only magnifies and amplifies how incredibly glorious that reality actually is. Now that brings me to another storm that is mentioned in the Bible, Matthew 8. Let's read it together. Matthew 8, verse 23, it says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' And Jesus responded, 'Why are you so afraid? You have so little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. And the disciples were amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked. 'Even the wind and waves obey him.'" The disciples were excited to jump into the boat with Jesus. They had just finished hearing the message of the Sermon on the Mount, where he spoke with, as they said, great authority and power. And then he backed up his messages with many, many healings and casting out demons. And he not only talked about this with authority and power, but he demonstrated it with his actions. And so this was somebody that they were excited about following. But then came the storm. And the storm did a couple of things. It revealed a couple of things. They thought that they knew Jesus, but the storm revealed the truth of what they thought Jesus was. It revealed the truth of their preconceived ideas of who they thought Jesus was. They said to themselves and they to each other, like, who is this man? There was confusion and awe and fear. This wasn't who they thought he was. Another thing that the storm revealed was the level of their faith. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? You have such little faith. And something else that the storm did, and maybe I'm reading into this a little bit, but I think this would be true, is that and actually, it's not necessarily the storm, but Jesus' authority over that storm. It did something that we don't see right away, but I think over time we see it in the way that the disciples lived their lives. It gave them another layer of faith that they can walk in, another layer of faith that they can look back on and say, remember when? This is the God that we serve. He is the one who has authority over the wind and the waves. It was another layer of faith that they can add to their experience. But we didn't see that right away. But I believe that that is part of the experience of storms. As we walk through them, when we get to the other side, we can look back and we can go, God has been faithful. I can trust him for the next one. He was faithful then. He'll be faithful again. As you look over your life in the past year, ask yourself some questions. What has been shaken in my life and what has remained? Have these challenges this year tested and fortified my faith or uprooted my faith? This past year, have I found peace that passes understanding, or have I been shaken to the core and left with little hope? See, the words are nice. I find shelter in Jesus. We look for the comfort of that. The concept of it is definitely welcomed. But I wonder, I can't help but wonder, what does it look like in real life to find shelter in Jesus? I think sometimes we get this concept in our head that being sheltered in Jesus is to be like me sitting in my little warm, cozy home with my cat curled up beside me and my cup of coffee in my hand, and nothing is penetrating, and I'm super comfortable and completely at rest and at peace. That is the essence of sheltering in Christ. And who doesn't want that? I would want that all of my life. But I don't think that's reality. And I also don't think that that is the depth of what we want in Christ. You see, anyone can find comfort and peace when all circumstances are just right. But what if I'm sitting there and my roof starts to leak and drip on my head? Now what do I have? My circumstance has taken away that sense of shelter. But when we're in Christ, even a leaky roof can't take that away. You see what I'm saying? The only way to really find supernatural shelter, refuge, peace, supernatural hope, is to be able to find that in the middle of the storm. Now, we don't want to welcome storms so that we can experience that. But I'm telling you, when you do have your, when you find yourself in the middle of that storm, you can take those moments to seek God and find refuge in him and find the peace that passes understanding. Find the peace that makes no sense because it shouldn't be there, but it's there. Why? Because you know the one who has authority over the wind and the waves. You know the one who has risen from the dead and conquered sin and death and given us a hope of eternity. That's the one we know. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That's where our refuge can be established, in that. I was thinking about a few of the characters in the Bible. Abraham leaving his home and living as a refugee in a foreign country for years, following after God. Tested with his son Isaac. Paul and Silas, they find themselves in jail, and what do they do in their circumstance? Do they cry and wail and pray for God to deliver them? No, they just start singing and praying. They found refuge and peace right there in the midst of the prison. David, when he was fleeing for his life from Saul, he ran into the mountains and he hid in the caves, and he even ran and hid in the midst of the enemy camp, figuring that surely Saul would never find him there. And to preserve his own life, he pretended to be insane. It doesn't sound like the circumstances of a warm, cozy couch and a cup of coffee kind of refuge kind of concept. It's the refuge that he finds in God, because he knows who the God is that he serves. Let me encourage you today, wherever you are at, in the middle of a storm or safe on the other side, take the opportunity now, starting right now, to get to know the captain of that storm, the one who has authority over the wind and the waves. Get to know him so that you can trust him. Use those moments to exercise your faith and be encouraged as you find yourself rooted and established in his love. And find shelter in him. Let your faith rise as you get to know him in a deeper way. David, when he was pretending to be insane and he was running from Saul, I believe when he was reflecting on that experience, he wrote Psalm 18 with these words. He says, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies." A few years ago, I was reflecting on that psalm, and I began to write a few words down, and I put it to song, and I thought maybe I'd share it with you guys today. It's called Shelter Over Me.
Reaffirming me. You bless you guys as you find refuge in Him, facing the storms of life head on with no fear, because we know who has authority over all things. At the end of the day, we know the one who has authority even over sin and death. And so we can find rest and refuge in Him. God bless you guys.